The beginning of Parashas Bo talks about the Makkah of the locust. So there's a whole discussion, and that was the last the three Makkahs are discussed in Parashas Bo. So there's a discussion, the Gemara in Brachas, on what bracha do you make on locusts. In fact, that, as we'll see, what bracha implying you could eat locusts. So we'll see, this could be a debate among Ashkenaz and Sephardim. Certain locusts might be kosher. So assuming the locusts are kosher, what bracha do you make on locusts? Do you make a bracha? So Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is no. Even if it's kosher, you don't make a bracha on locusts. Why not? Also, Hanos Baloma Zebelo Bracha. Maybe they consider there's no Hana. I don't know. But he writes, his reason he gives is because anything connected to a kola, we don't make a bracha on. Since they destroy the vegetation, so we don't make a bracha on locusts. We have the kasha. Usually it's in a different context. We have, let's say, we don't make a bracha. We don't want to make a new bracha on the kolas, on the tochacha. Or a dabara, or let's say you don't make a mit bracha on tshuva because maybe it's because of a sin. Here's a little difference here, like, it's a birkas hanenin, it would be. Yeah, but nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda says that you won't make a bracha. But I guess it's such, maybe it's omias, or whatever the case may be. And we pass, like the Tanakama, that you do make a bracha. You can make a shahakol niya bidvaro. And they point out the poskim, again, assuming you have a mesorah and locust in the kosher, so are they like dairy, are they meat, or are they parav? So we assume locusts are parav. You could, it's no problem, they don't have its status of meat, and you could put dairy on them. You could have, I guess it's popular, people have treats, chocolate-covered locusts and other things, or caramel. Aye, what about shchita? Usually an animal needs shchita, so if it's parv, it's probably not an animal. And therefore we assume there's no shchita needed. They're like fish. Like fish is parv. Aye, so then what about just picking them up and eating them raw? So Enchinami, make your din, you probably can. But the post can talk about tashaksu, that it's something repulsive, disgusting, so you don't make it. As the Gemara says in Shabbos, Kuvav Amud Beis, regarding the Isser of Seda, that one cannot trap grasshoppers on Shabbos. You can't trap them for consumption, it could be an Isser of Seda. So, we see, so apparently, obviously, they're talking about people used to eat these, so clearly some of these locusts were kosher. So the locusts, you need a mesorah to know which ones are kosher. It's too hard to tell from the simanim, they're not as clear. So it's like we need a mesorah when it comes to birds. So too, we need a mesorah when it comes to locusts. So Rev Hertz, when he wrote the Hertz Chumash, the chief rabbi in the British Empire, he says we no longer have the Masorah on locusts, and therefore one cannot eat them. And other Yemenite, African, North Africa, wherever they came from, they're in Israel, Rav Kapach, they say that they do have a Masorah, and therefore they do eat them. So it seems to come down, is there a reliable mesorah on locusts? If you assume there is, at least if you're svard, you could eat it. And if you ask it as we'll get into, you can't eat it. And there's an article with Dr. Amar, I think from Bar Ilan in 2004 when the locusts swarmed by Eilat and other places. He went down and brought his students and they fried the locusts, and the students said they tasted like French fries. They tasted like potatoes. So he explained why. He says, whatever the locusts eat last, that's what the taste is from. So if they went to sesame, it would be a sesame thing. So since they ate the potatoes, so therefore, so make sure before you eat them, make sure they ate something you like before that. And then they point out so that's the issue. So what about the Masorah? So let's assume, so if you assume there is no good Masorah, so no one could have them. But if you assume, let's assume, so some discuss, so by Svardim, why does Svardim mean? They're not experts in the Masorah, they just know their parents eat them, so that wouldn't be enough. But if you assume, no, they are experts in the Masorah, so the question is, can I transfer over a Masorah? In other words, if there was a bird in Africa that had a Masorah, and it shows up in Spain for the first time. So obviously, obviously there was no Masorah in Spain because the bird never... So if we assume if the bird existed, so then we assume that they didn't eat it or whatever it might have been, so then perhaps there's a negative Masorah not to have it. So in general, can I transfer over a Masorah from one city to another, one country to another? So the Rush says yes. Once it's a good Masorah, so why can't everyone eat it? And the Rashba says no. He says maybe on an individual basis you could go and eat it, but as a rabbim. So that's so it's 2 days in the Shulchan Aruch. The Machaber passes like the Rashba l'chumra, you can't transfer a Masorah. But the Shach disagrees and says no. There's no machlokas Rashba and the Rush. Really, everyone agrees. If you have a good Masorah, then you can give it over. It's only if it's not a good Masorah. Even the Rashba agrees, according to the Shach. So that's the whole issue. Rabbi Slifkin writes, he has a kasha on the OU. He writes that the OU writes about a bird that, yeah, it's true, that obviously if there was a bird only in Iraq and not in Spain, so the people in Spain could eat it. There was no Masorah for birds and for people in Spain not to eat it. They didn't have the bird. So there was no negative Masorah not to eat it. However, the OU claims by grasshoppers that Rashi knew about grasshoppers, and therefore the fact that he did not eat the grasshoppers shows that we have a Masorah not to eat it. So for instance, he writes, take a look how the OU applies this policy to locusts. In the case of grasshoppers, it's clear from Rashi that many species of grasshoppers existed in Europe in his time and were known by the Jews, but the Ashkenaz communities did not eat of them. This is considered a Masorah that they are not eating, so the OU would not certify them, even though Taimanim have a Masorah and can rely on it. So Rav Sliskin says, no, it's incorrect. Rashi was familiar with many species of grasshoppers, but not with locusts. Certain types of grasshoppers from destructive swarms, there are ones known as locusts. But there's different types of, so he says, to all the locust species, so he goes into detail. So he writes that there's no Ashkenazic Masorah not to eat locusts, they just didn't have them. The same as in the OU's example of the birds that only lived in Iraq and not in Germany. I mean, OU might have different reasons not to get the Ashkacha, but again, so there's two issues. So if you have a reliable Masorah, then you can eat them. And then I think they're done with some hashkacha on it. But even if it's good, so then there's a further question, I'd say, if you're Ashkenaz, so OU says no, because OU says there was a negative Masorah not to eat locusts. So if you assume there was a negative Masorah not to eat locusts, so then you're right. You can't eat it. But if you assume there's no negative Masorah, it's just that they didn't have them there. It's like the case of the birds that one live in Iraq and one lives in Spain. So it's not that there's a Masorah not to eat it, it's just that they didn't have it. So that would come down to whether, assuming all the other issues worked out, so then if you ended up eating the locust, so as we said, you make a shahakol niyeh b'dvaro, you don't trap them on Shabbos, and have them eat something that you like potatoes, etc. And that's those are the difference in Hagim. I mean, most people won't eat locusts, but Svardim do, and then that's a further question if it's limited to certain groups of Svardim or even Ashkenaz. If it was in theory a reliable Masorah, would that be able to be transferable? Would it transfer over?